Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So I did do our last week's story and this week's story a little out of order with scripture. And if you've been with us or joining us online, for the first 5 weeks, I read scripture out of the Jesus Storybook Bible, partly because we've had our kids in worship and we wanted the story to be accessible to them. And it's also allowed us adults to hear the story in new ways as well. This morning, our scripture comes from Daniel 3, and I'm actually reading from Bible Stories Every Child Should Know. It's another children's book written by Kenneth N. Taylor and illustrated by Jenny Brake. So hear now these words from Daniel 3. Remember, I've invited my adults to read scripture in the translation of your choice because there are going to be more details than what we will share this morning. Three men in a fire. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon started a school to train some of the Jewish boys his people had taken from Jerusalem. Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in that school. God helped them all become wise, and he helped Daniel understand the meaning of dreams. When Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar what one of the king's dreams meant, Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel, "Your God is the God of gods. God is the king of all other kings." Now, what you don't see is that your God is capital G, God of all gods with a lowercase g. Okay, so the big God versus the little gods. Same thing with the kings. Then the king put Daniel in charge of the wise men and made Daniel's three friends rulers too. Then Nebuchadnezzar made a huge statue of gold and sent for all of his leaders. When they came, one of the king's helpers said, "The king demands and commands you to bow down and worship his gold statue when the band begins to play. Anyone who won't do it will be thrown into a furnace with hot flames." And as soon as the band began to play, most of the leaders bowed down to worship the gold statue. But Daniel's three friends would not do it, for they knew it was wrong to worship a statue. Some of the Babylonians asked the king, "Didn't you make a law that says anyone who won't worship your statue will be thrown into a hot furnace?" "Well, some of your Jewish leaders won't bow down to your gold statue. And their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Now, King Nebuchadnezzar became very angry, and he ordered the three young men to be brought to him. And he shouted, "Is it true that you will not bow down to my gold statue? I'll give you one more chance. When you hear the band begin to play, you must worship the statue, or I will have to throw you in the hot furnace. And what lowercase g god will be able to save you?" The three young men said to the king, "We won't do it. If you throw us into the furnace, our God is able to save us and will. But even if God doesn't, we will not worship your God, sir, or bow down to your statue." Nebuchadnezzar still was very angry. "Heat the furnace 7 times hotter than ever before," he told his men. Then he called for the strongest soldiers of this army to tie up Daniel's friends and throw them into the furnace. And it was so hot that the flames scorched and killed the soldiers. But after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had fallen down inside the furnace, they got up and walked around in the flames. Only the ropes they were tied with were burned. The king looked inside the furnace and could not believe what he saw. "Didn't we throw three men into the fire tied with ropes? But now there are four men walking around in the fire, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." And King Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out." So they came out of the furnace, and the fire hadn't burned them even a little bit. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then the king said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and saved these young men who trusted in God. I now make a law to get rid of all people who say anything bad about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No other God can save people as the God of these three young men can." Then the king made the young men even greater leaders than they had been before. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, thank you for this story. Thank you for giving us open hearts and open ears and open minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we know, and for me, at least having been in church ministry, when I think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I always think of Rack, Shack, and Benny from VeggieTales. Am I right? You know, most of our Old Testament stories have been illustrated versions from, you know, a talking cucumber and a talking tomato, right? Like, and so I always think Rack, Shack, and Benny, and so sometimes I'll read it and be like, oh, Rack, Shack, oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Say that five times really fast and see how well you do. Anyway, so then you know why we call them Rack, Shack, and Benny. What's important here are there are a few things that we can glean from this story. One, we understand that God's people had been exiled and taken from Jerusalem into Babylon. And there they were under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar. And we know that Daniel's story arches over several kings while in exile in Babylon. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were part of Daniel's cohort, if you would say that. You know, that they had gone to the school for the king to train them in the ways that the king would want them to live in this new land. Because they were no longer situated in Jerusalem, they no longer had their temple as the center of their community worship, right? They had to redefine what worshiping the one true God looked like in exile in Babylon. And even in that space, they remembered the laws that God had given. To remember the Ten Commandments as given to Moses on that mountain, one of our stories from this summer. Because God had rescued them out of slavery in Egypt and formed them and were leading them into the promised land, and they needed something to bind themselves together as a unit, as God's chosen people. And it began with the Ten Commandments. And the first of the ten was, do you all remember what the first commandment was? Thou shall not have any other gods before me, right? And I believe, is it number two? You shall not create idols. Was that number two or number four? Man, I did terrible teaching y'all this summer. Anyway, the first four commandments, thou shalt not have any gods before me, right? Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt not create idols in the image of God. And what's the other one? Come on, Philip. Jeremy. What? What did you say, Rick? Thank you. And thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy. Good grief. I should have had that second cup of coffee this morning, or at least finished the monster, and then maybe I'd get this out. So we know that the first four laws, right, were God's relationship to the people. But the number one was, you shall not have any other God before me, and you shall not craft images in my likeness. And here we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego challenged by those, the new law of the people that stands in contradiction to the law of God. Because what they were told was, you, when the music plays, you will bow down and worship what? A gold statue. Gold statue would have been a likeness of King Nebuchadnezzar. To bow down is a posture of worship, meaning that they would also be worshiping King Nebuchadnezzar. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that that was against God's wishes for them. And they didn't do it. And when it was brought to King Nebuchadnezzar's attention, King Nebuchadnezzar gave them one more chance and said, when the music plays, you must bow down or I'm going to throw you into the furnace. And when the music played, what happened? Did they bow down? No. Not only did they not bow down, but they very much responded to the king's first indictment and said, we will not do this. And if you throw us into the furnace, we trust that our God is going to protect us. So they had this sense of confidence in who God was and who they were in relationship to who God was and is. And so for them, they were like, go ahead. We'll show you what happens if you throw us into the furnace. Right? And so they disobeyed the king's command, but they were following God's command and ended up into the furnace. Now, what's interesting is the king was so angry, the king escalated the heat of the furnace way beyond the normal parameters, which means that they should have been immediately incinerated, right? And that's what happened to the people who tossed them into the furnace. And the only thing that got burned on them was what? The ropes that had bound them and tied them together. And I don't know how the king was able to look into that furnace to even be able to see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but also to see the fourth person. Because, now mind you, the furnace was cranked up 7 times normal heat level, which would have meant that the light from that would have been extremely blinding. You would not have been able to look into that furnace in a way that your eyes would have been able to process that. Am I right, Mr. Science Russell? Probably. But I can imagine that, you know, sometimes we can look into the fire, but it's not as intense. But then when it gets really intense, it's intense. And yet they were able to discern 3 distinct images for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then the fourth. And that fourth was different than the other 3, which would point to the brilliance of the divine that King Nebuchadnezzar witnessed. That even the brilliance of the Son of God shined even brighter than that furnace. Now that to me is pretty amazing. And not only that, but to have the blindedness of your eyes be able to make that distinction. That there was something different about this situation that you were able to tell that, even under those circumstances. So we hold this together and we can say, okay, well, one, we know that God's law was, you shall not have any other God before me. You shall not craft idols in the divine image. Okay, so we're called to listen to the command of God and obey. We also see witness of faithfulness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that even challenged or threatened with death, they still stood firm in their trust and faith in God. They said, yeah, go ahead. And not only that, but you're going to see who our God really is. So we hold that. And then we hear about the miracle of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being saved and rescued from that fiery situation, to not have their clothes singed or even have any remnant of smell of fire upon their bodies. More importantly, King Nebuchadnezzar goes through a transformation where he could not see or recognize the power of God, is shown the true nature of God in this situation. So much so that he changes and writes an own law that says, we'll get rid of anybody else who challenges against this law, therefore establishing God in a higher prominence than the lowercase g gods that the Babylonians had been worshiping. That's a change of heart. That's a change of vision. That's a change of perspective. All because of this instance of challenging human law to follow and obey God's law of love. To me, I cannot think of a better way for us to end our summer story other than to be reminded that we shall not have any other gods before the one true God. And we shall not make idols in the world that takes us away from worshiping that God. And I don't mean your little images that you want, tchotchkes that you might have in your house. I'm talking about those things that we put time and effort into that take us away from our time with God. Whether it be our electronics, our social media, behaviors that may be contrary to God's will for you, interactions with people that do not demonstrate God's grace and love. May we stand firm. Name those things and say, we will not allow those to disrupt our relationship with God. We will stay true to who God has called us to be so that Jesus can be made visible through us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.